it was noticeable to me how quiet we got when Romans 9 was read. It is a fact that most preachers and many, many people avoid Romans 9. And especially the passage that says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, this morning, if you're a child of God, you will leave here stunned, amazed, appalled, in wonder that God has saved you. If you are religious, you will leave here angry, upset. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Some of you are already thinking, that's not fair. Well, the Apostle Paul is not talking about what's fair. He's talking about the grace of God. Jacob have I loved. Wow. When I read it, that's exactly what I say. Wow. I'm taken up with the wonder that God loved Jacob. This is a real problem for religion, this passage. Jacob have I loved. Because if you read your Bible, you immediately think, that can't be. Because there was nothing to love in Jacob. And that's exactly right. I don't want you to imagine for an instant that I pretend to be able to explain the great mystery of predestination. There are some who claim to know all about this matter of predestination, attempting to twist it around their finger as if it were an everyday thing. But he who thinks he knows all about this mystery knows very little. It's but the shallowness of his mind that permits him to see the bottom of his knowledge. He who dives deep finds that there is in the lowest depths of this matter of predestination a greater depth still. It is a fact that the great questions about man's responsibility and free will and predestination have been fought over for years and years and years and have been answered in 10,000 different ways. And the result has been that we know just as much about the matter as when we first began. The combatants of predestination have thrown dust into the face of each other's eyes and have maybe hindered each other from seeing. And then they've concluded that because they put other people's eyes out, they could therefore see. A little weighty this morning. The truth is, we have no right to know more about predestination than what God tells us in the Bible. If we do not stick to the Word of God, we will surely go astray on this matter. We have no sure foundation, no sure footing. If God wanted us to know more concerning predestination, He would have revealed it to us and reveal more. And so today, I pray with help of the Holy Spirit to shed some light from God's Word upon this great doctrine of God's divine sovereignty. You're holding on to your seat. Some men are chosen and other men are left. What scripture do you have for that, Pastor? Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. It's a fact. And what a terrible text it is. I admit that. Terrible in the sense of of awesome. I want to be honest with it. Some have said hate means to love less. But the fact is, hate is the word used, and that's what it means. See the quiet amens? See how quiet it's getting in here? Because you're being shut up into a box. A box where you have to give God all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Love less is meaningless. What does that mean? Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I loved less. Let the Word of God stand just as it is. The fact is that God loved Jacob, and He did not love Esau. The fact is He did choose Jacob, but He did not choose Esau. He did bless Jacob, but He never blessed Esau. His mercy followed Jacob all the days of his life, even to the last. But His mercy never followed Esau. He permitted, that is, God did, permitted Esau to go on in his sins. And to prove that dreadful truth, Esau have I hated. Some say that Jacob and Esau are nations. Can you make any sense of that? He hated whole nations while loving other nations. Is the difficulty removed by extending it to nations? You tell me it is unjust for God to love one individual and choose him and hate another. And then explain the unjust action of God by saying He chose nations. Are you following me? All right, stay with me. There is nothing said in this scripture of nations. Look at the verse here in the text, verse 11. Listen to it now and let this go deep into your very soul. And I'm going to try to smile a lot because most of you aren't smiling back. This is a sweet, awesome, wonderful text that causes the people of God to say, oh, what a wonder that Jesus found me. Out in the darkness, no light could I see. He put His great arm under, and wonder of wonders, He saved even me. Look at verse 11. For the children being not yet born. Is that what your Bible says? Now we're going to take the Bible today. Not what preachers say. Not what the Baptists say, not what the Methodists say, not what the Calvinists say, not what the Presbyterians say, but what does God's Word say? Absolute truth. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. In other words, God chose folks before they ever did any good or evil. God rejected or passed by folks before they had done any good or evil. Now we're in a real mess, aren't we? We're in a real mess because we're saying salvation is of the Lord. My good works, my bad works had nothing to do with it. It was the sovereign grace of God. To God be the glory. Not of works, but of Him that calleth. We must never be guilty of trying to make the Bible bow to us. I've been in this for 50 years. Romans 9. I have heard preachers and Christians trying to twist it and twist it and twist it and make it say something it does not say. It says God is the author and finisher of our faith. That God initiates salvation. That He began salvation. That He carries on salvation to ultimate glorification. And if you don't believe that, you can't give Him all the glory. Man is out to take some for himself. There's the fact of God making us to differ from another. In the Corinthian letter, the Apostle Paul says, who maketh thee to differ? Who makes you to differ? How come your brother's saved and you're not? How come others of your family are not saved and you are? You're not going to cheat, are you? You're not going to try to steal some of the glory, are you? You're not going to say it was your will, are you? If I were you, I wouldn't say it was my anything. I would say God sought me, caught me, and bought me. And the reason you're wrestling with this, I can feel it. You're wrestling with this. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. I know some of you are out there like this. God is love. God doesn't hate anybody. Then rip Romans 9 out of your Bible. Because it's not true. Some say they do not like the doctrine of election. And I'm not trying this morning to push this off on you or even to get you to like it. I'm just proclaiming what God said. It's true whether you like it or not. And God, listen, $100,000 checks do not come by accident. When we bless God, when we praise God, the blessings come down. When we give Him all the glory, the blessings come down. Why do you think one man can't read and another writes books? God makes you to differ. Think about this. Every gift you have, every talent, every ability God gave you by grace. You didn't deserve it. God makes us to differ in so many ways. And especially in salvation. And whether you write books or you can barely read, to God be the glory. Thank God I can read a few lines. Why is it you're not already in prison? Many of you should have been there a long time ago, right? If God just let you go, let you go, let you go. Who called you out of Lodibar? There are some still down in the hood that you know that have been there for years. And God plucked you out like a brand out of the fire. Are you going to say it was your will, your works, your something? I don't think so. It was the irresistible grace of God. Some of your friends still down there, blind as a bat. Why did you see? Because God revealed it to you. I have not seen nor heard, neither have entered in to the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them to us. The most glorious revelation is salvation is of the Lord. And this is where religion and true Christianity battle. Who gets the glory? That's the acid test of any testimony, of any song. Who gets the glory? Of any message, who gets the glory? That's the acid test. There's a vast difference between a bragamony and a testimony. And no bragging on our part here, but how is it that you sit under a powerful ministry of gospel truth while others listen to a preacher whose drowsiness is only exceeded by that of his hearers? Just think about that a little bit. You'll get it. Now, you can alter opinions, but you can't alter facts. You may change a mere doctrine, but you cannot possibly change a thing that actually exists. Jacob have I loved. Just take it home with you today. And I hope somewhere, maybe out in the restaurant or when you get home or in your bedroom when you're changing clothes, God just takes the scales off your eyes. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Where you quit fighting it. You say, He saved me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me salvation so rich and free. You may object to election. You may do that. Whatever you think about it, God did love Jacob, and God did not love Esau. Well, seems strange, doesn't it? I know you're fighting it right now. I can feel you struggling. If you're saved, just consider this. What a wonder I am. Why on earth would God have saved me? Why did He seek me out? I know a lot of people that are better than me, don't you? In outward conduct. Now, the second great thing about God loving Jacob was, why? Look at Jacob's life. Look at his history. And I won't have you turn to all these passages. Salvation is not by works. If it were, Jacob would have went to hell and Esau would probably go to heaven because Esau was a better guy than Jacob. Jacob was a snake, a swindler, an embezzler, a fraud, a cheat. He was a liar. The Scripture says so. Even Jacob said, few and evil have been the days of my pilgrimage. Few and evil. But God loved Jacob. Before he had done good or evil, God loved Jacob. It's nothing less more than the sovereign grace of God. Sovereign grace. Grow to love it. Grow to appreciate it. Grow to give Him glory. Moses said, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Here's the glory of it. I'll have to hide you in the cliff of the rock because if I show you my grace and my glory fully, it'll kill you dead. So I'm going to hide you in the cliff of the rock and you're only going to see the hinder parts of my grace. And then he said this, here it is. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Huh? You say, is that the glory of God? Absolutely. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Has He had mercy on you? I hear people say this all the time. I just want God to give me what I deserve. No, you don't. You don't want to get what you deserve. See, you're lying now. And you've been taught by religion to camouflage your gross iniquity, your total depravity. There's no good in us. It was because God is infinitely gracious in His dispensation of grace that He chose Jacob to be the object of grace. Can you say, I'm an object of grace? And God did it all. God did it all for me. There are reasons you are saved today, as well as was Jacob. It is simply this. God has mercy on whom He will have mercy. It's just really that simple. The only reason I'm saved today, as are you, is because of God's merciful heart and omnipotent will. You know, God had to overcome your will. Don't be praising your will. Your will was enslaved to your depravity. A hog is a hog and loves a mire because it's a hog. The dog loves its vomit because it's a dog. By nature, by practice, and by choice. See, I wanted to be saved more than anything else in all the world when I got saved. Me too. But it wasn't until God worked on my willer. My willer had to be changed. Yours did too. There was a time when you loved crack. You didn't love Christ. How come you love Christ now and hate crack? Because God changed your willer. Hang on to the Word of God. You'll not go wrong. And if you go home frustrated and a bit angry with the pastor, and maybe even thinking, you know, I don't know about going over there. Get you a Bible. Get down and search the Scripture. If I'm wrong, then come and tell me that you've got Scripture to prove that I'm wrong. But let's start with Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Now you explain that to me. Amen. I'll take you like Grant took Richmond. And what I mean by that is simply this. What I meant by that was not a boast. It's just simply this. I am beyond positive that the message of free and sovereign grace is true. From cover to cover. The chief end of man is to glorify God. Completely, absolutely, positively. Now, why did God hate Esau? Because he deserved it. Oh, you don't think he deserved it? Let me tell you this. There will not be one person in hell saying to God, "You gave me what I didn't deserve." Did you hear what I said? Not one person in hell will be saying to God, "I didn't deserve this. It was your dirty old predestination. That's why I'm here. It was your dirty old election. That's why I'm here." Every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. And I want to say to those of you who don't love Christ, and you won't love Christ, it's because you won't. You're in love with your sins. And you won't come to Christ. The truth is, we were all in love with our sins. And then Jesus came. And then Jesus came. "No man comes to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." That's how you came to Christ. You know, I used to draw my grandmother Tutty's water out of the well. And I never went out to the well and said to the water, "Jump up here in the bucket." I had a rope and a bucket. I let the bucket down. It filled with water. And then I drew it to myself. Christ has drawn you to himself. What a glorious thing. He didn't have to. You know, he can still be God and pass you by. That's why the old songwriter wrote the words. He knew the truth of free and sovereign grace. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by." He could pass you right by. And I want to say this to you. Those of you here without Christ, you're on death row. And I can tell you this too. Jesus is passing by. He has the key to your cell. You're on death row. He can stop and let you out or pass you right on by and still be God and still be Savior and still be Lord. If I were you, I would take a shot at it. Hey! Hey! Pass me not! Wicked, guilty, undone, yes! But your Lord and your Savior, don't pass me by. It'd be worth a shot. He might stop. I've read in this Bible where blind Bartimaeus and others cried out, "Hey, over here!" The disciples said, "Shut up. He doesn't have time for you." And the Bible says he cried more the louder. What I'm hoping here today is, for the first time in your life, you find out today you're lost and he's the only one that can save you. I know you've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. I hear people all the time, "I found the Lord! I found the Lord!" He wasn't lost. The truth is, once you began to see, He found you. You were hiding in the bushes. Adam and Eve weren't saying, I'm over here. We want to be better. No, they'd already, sewed them some fig leaf aprons, which didn't please Him at all. Hiding in the bushes. Marijuana bushes, probably. Aren't you glad God didn't give you what you deserve? You know, God really has nothing to do with condemnation except as a judge gives a criminal what he deserves. A man does not go to hell because he goes to hell because he loves his sin and will not come to Christ. No man is saved by his own free will, but every man is damned by it. That is damned. Let me say it again. Every man that is damned will be damned by his free will. You willingly go to hell. You willingly, and you will not come to Christ. That's what's so marvelous about this effectual, irresistible call of God. Come! And when the power of the Spirit of God says come and calls you, you come. Yes. Today, if you're going, oh, I am wretched and blind and undone, would He save somebody like me? Listen really close, because that's not you saying that. That's the Spirit. And the bride say, come, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come. Are you willing to come? Then come on. There's nothing to stop you. It's not whosoever won't let him come. It's whosoever will let him come. Do you have the will to come? Then it was given to you by God. You will never be willing to get free until God makes you willing. That's why you keep smoking crack. That's why you keep doing heroin. That's why you keep fornicating. That's whatever you do. Whatever you do, whether you're suburbanite or inner city folks attending over here, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever you do because you love it. You know, I'm not here today because I have to. A mother went into her 45-year-old son's bedroom and said, you got to get up. It's time to go to church. He said, give me one good reason why I got to go to church. She said, because you're the pastor. Like, I'm not here today because I have to be here. I wanted to be here. In fact, I couldn't wait last night. I couldn't wait to get here. You know the crack house suits you better than the house of God. You know the pot house suits you better than prayer meeting. You know you would rather trust yourself than trust in Christ. That's why you're going to go to hell. If something doesn't happen on the inside of you. We say this all the time. You know, why do you keep doing the same thing over and over? Expecting different results. Because you want to. You want to. God has to put a willingness in you. Esau lost his soul justly. But he couldn't get it back by good works. And you may quit crack and you may quit heroin and you may quit fornicating and quit lusting and quit doing this. I doubt it. But it won't get you to heaven by quitting stuff. You got to come to Christ. Jesus Christ. And I thought this last night. If any ask you what Clark preaches, I hope you'll tell them he preaches salvation all of grace and damnation all by sin. That's what I preach. Salvation is by grace. And if you go to hell, it's because you are a lost, uncaring, not bowing at the feet of Jesus Christ, loving what you do. You're not going to blame God. You're not going to blame the grace of God. When we all get to heaven, we'll sing the victory. We'll shout, hallelujah, worthy is the Lamb of God that was slain to receive glory and honor and praise. If you perish, you perish of suicide. You're your own destroyer. Nah, don't try that on me. I know some of you maybe don't like the doctrine of election predestination. You try to push, oh, it's God's fault. It's God's fault. It's your fault. Esau sold himself. You are too. Esau sold his birthright. Of course, Jacob swindled him, but... Now, lastly, in closing, let me do a little practical preaching here. I want you to turn over to the book of Genesis just a moment. And this is so amazing to me. In Genesis chapter 28, God is speaking to Jacob after he's done everything possible to turn God off to him. Done all kinds of things. Look at Genesis 28 and 15. And here's what God says. And behold! What does behold mean? Look! That's right. Look! Look! I can't tell you how many times this word behold is used in Scripture. And it's always used in the sense of something startling is about to be said. Watch this. Behold, I am with thee, you crooked liar embezzler. And will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Well, what happened to Jacob? What's Jacob going to do here? What's Jacob's part here? God makes no mention of Jacob except in this sense. I am with thee. I will keep thee. Wherever you go, I'll be there and bring you again into this land. I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose, because for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Whom He predestinated, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. My friend, you are being saved by grace every day. God should have killed us all a long time ago. He should have killed us all. Some lady years ago said to me, we were having the Lord's Supper, which we've got to do, and we've got to have got to get a baptismal pool up here. We must have 100 people wanting to be baptized. But at any rate, this lady said to me, I won't be coming to church tonight because I don't feel worthy. You never were worthy. You don't come to the Lord's table with worthiness. You come trusting the blood of Christ, the person of Christ, and that alone. And you come with a sweet spirit saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Every day. And so we lift Him up. I believe the angels in heaven are not mad this morning, but are praising God along with us. I'm sorry, not real sorry. I started to say I'm sorry if you're hurt, but sometimes you got to get hurt. You got to be pierced. Because this thing of self-glorification and self-works and anti-giving God all the glory is so in us. I mean, I was honored today with City Council doing that, but quite frankly, a little embarrassed too. My name mentioned too much. I'm telling you, without God, this place collapses like that. Who's ever heard of a church going out of business and sending another church $100,000, $100,000 out of nowhere. I'm going to the mail tomorrow. I'm glad the mail runs tomorrow. What a mighty God. A mighty God. Let's stand and praise Him. If you're here without Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Christ. Bow to Christ. If you want to be saved, be saved. As old Brother Barnard used to say, do it. That's right. I guarantee you, if you want Christ, it's because He first wanted you. If there's a desire on the inside of you to trust Christ, that's because He's calling you. And He will give you faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's praise Him.